Welcome to Torah Timecha HaVtorah with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Sarah Malka Winter, and this week, Parshas Balak, we read from Micha, Perek Hei Pasuk Vav, through Perek Vav, Pasuk Ches, chapter 5, verse 6, through chapter 6, verse 8. At first glance, the connection to our Parsha seems to only be in chapter 6, verse 5. Ami, Zechor na maya at Balak melech Moav ume'ana'u so Bilam ben Beor, min hashitim ad ha-gilgol, lema'an da'as tzidkos Hashem. My nation, remember what Balak the king of Moav plotted, what Bilam the son of Beor replied. From Shittim to Gilgal, so that you may recognize the righteousness of Hashem. Balak and Bilam and their attempts to curse and harm the Jewish people are recalled here. Interestingly, this is not the only place in Navi that these two are mentioned. In fact, Balak was mentioned in our last week's Haftorah, in Sefer Shoftim. And even more directly, we find in Sefer Yehoshua, chapter 24, verses 8 to 10, a brief but powerful retelling of our Parsha's events. Balak, the son of Tzippor, the king of Moab, arose and fought against Israel. He summoned Bilam to curse you, but I refused to listen, and he blessed you instead, and I saved you. So it begs the question, why wasn't that chosen to be the accompanying Haftorah of Parshas Balak? Why are our verses from Micha chosen for the Haftorah? And even more so, why does the Haftorah start all the way back in chapter 5 with verses that seem unrelated to Balak and Bilam? So let's begin. Chapter 5, verse 6. The opening phrase of our Haftorah, Vayhaya she'iris Yaakov bekerev amim rabim, kital me'ez Hashem, kerevivim alei Esav, asher lo yikavel le'ish, v'lo yiyachel levnei adam. The remnant of Yaakov among the many nations will be like dew from God, like droplets on the grass, that will not hope for man, and will not have expectations of mortals. Dew is a powerful image. It's life-giving, gentle, and comes directly from God. It represents quiet blessing, not dependent on human help or recognition. And then a sharp shift. The remnant of Yaakov among the nations will be ke'aryeh bebahamos ya'ar, like a lion among the beasts of the woods, Kikfir be'edrei tzon, like a young lion amongst a flock of sheep, who tramples and tears with no one to save. These two verses seem contradictory. Are we gentle and nurturing, or fierce and unstoppable? Abarbanel explains this duality. There will be two realities in the time of redemption. Many nations will admire the Jewish people as a source of blessing, like dew, but others will continue to oppose us, and to them we will be like a lion among sheep, utterly dominant. The Barbanel, however, offers a different view as well, that both verses speak of our victory, but the key lies in how we view our source of strength. Just as dew comes directly from Hashem, not from human action, so too our redemption will come when we finally understand that all help comes only from Him. We will finally understand that all help that we need comes only from Hashem, and we will turn only to Him. And in verse 7, we will, without anyone else's assistance, still be victorious. And the psukim continue that this will hearken to a new and beautiful time, a time when Hashem will remove all tools of war, horses, chariots, fortified cities. It will be a time of wonderful peace. And that is not all that will be removed. Verses 12 and 13, Hashem promises also to remove the idols, the altars of the idols, so that you will no longer bow to the product of your own hands. No longer will you be fooled by them. There will come a time, Hashem promises, that we will finally see the world for what it is and not be deceived by false gods and idols. We will finally and absolutely be free. It's a complete transformation from a people struggling with misguided allegiances to a nation fully aligned with divine truth. But chapter 6 transitions to rebuke. Shimu harim tishmana gvaos. Hashem calls the mountains to hear his quarrel because Hashem is not happy with his nation, with Yisrael. And Hashem cries out, "My nation, what did I do to you? I brought you out of Egypt. I saved you from the house of slavery. I sent before you Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam." And then finally comes our pasuk, hey. Ami zechor na maya atz balak melech mov uma anau so bilam ben ba'or min hashitim ad hagilgol laman das tzidkos Hashem. My nation, remember please what Balak, the king of Moab, plotted and what Bilam ben Ba'or responded to him from Shittim to Gilgal, so that you will know the kindness of Hashem. Most explain that pasuk in context. I saved you. I saved you so many times. I even saved you from Balak and Bilam, from their evil plans. And even when you sinned, and you did sin, in Shittim, and then again and again, I saved you too. And then comes a moment of soul searching. The Navi speaks in our voice. What can we bring to God to atone for our sins? Burnt offerings? Oil? Even our firstborns? This is a moment of overwhelming regret when we finally realize how far we are from where we should be. We wonder, can we ever come back? And the answer comes clear, simple, empowering. Verse 8, Higid lecha adam ma tov uma Hashem doresh mimcha ki imasos mishpat ve'ahavas chesed. He has told you, O man, what is good and what Hashem requires of you? To do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. That's it. It is a return to the basics. You don't need to bring 10,000 rams. You need to live with honesty, generosity, and humility. That is what Hashem has always wanted from you. And that is our Haftorah, a beautiful vision, a sharp rebuke, and a clear, grounding, empowering final message. But is there something that can unify this Haftorah? Is there something that puts all three parts together? The answer is in our Parsha. The truth is, there is much more that connects this Haftorah to our Parsha than just chapter 6, verse 5. The entire message of the Haftorah mirrors the blessings that Bilam gave, the vision of what we could be. The nation that dwells alone, Hein Am Levadad Yishkon, just like Micha's image of Yaakov amongst the nations. The image of a lion appearing in both Bilam's prophecy and Micha's. And even the mountains called to witness in Micha are, according to Targum Yonasan, our avos and imahos, our forefathers and mothers, Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah. Bilam too saw them as the foundation of our people. From the tops of the mountains I see them, he said. So what is Hashem asking? He's not just asking us to remember the danger of Bilam's attempted curse. He is asking us to remember what happened when it was turned around. He is asking us to remember the vision. Bilam's words weren't just praise. They were a glimpse of our highest potential. They were a beautiful vision of the nation we are at our essence, a vision of the nation we could become, a nation that stands alone, a nation that doesn't believe in idols, that puts their hopes only in Hashem, a nation that gets up like a lion. And in our Haftorah, Micha is telling us, is telling the Jewish people, there will come a time when you will get there, when you will make it, when that vision of so long ago will finally come true for you. And now is the time to start living it. And if that sounds daunting, remember the final words of the Haftorah. He has told you, man, what is good. Hashem is not asking the impossible. The mission of the Jewish people is profound, but it is so human. Be decent, be honest, be generous, walk humbly with Hashem. Rav Volpe teaches in his second volume of Alei Shor that the Gemara in Yevamo says, "Kol Adam she'ein lo karka, eino Adam." A person who lacks grounding, who isn't rooted in the real world, is not truly a person. And the Shlach HaKadosh, he says, teaches that the word Adam comes from Adameh Le'elyon. I will resemble the one above. Our highest calling is to emulate Hashem, to reflect His justice, His mercy, His greatness. But the way we do that is not through abstract holiness or spiritual detachment. It is through grounded, real acts of goodness through honest business, respectful speech, quiet kindness, humility in our everyday lives. Sublime holiness is not separate from the world. It is revealed by how we walk through it. And that is exactly what Micha is telling us. Do justice, love kindness, walk humbly with your God. And when we live that way, when we live as Adam, rooted in the ground and reaching for the divine, we begin to fulfill the vision of Parshas Balak that Micha reaffirms, a nation that stands apart, not by force, but by moral clarity, a people that rises like a lion through unwavering righteousness, a world that's transformed not only by miracles, but by justice, kindness, and humble faith. And when we do this, we will finally become the nation that Hashem always believed we could be, the nation described in those blessings, in these words of the Haftorah, the nation that brings Hashem's light to the world. Thank you for learning together.